Thank you, Marianne and Chris. That was beautiful. A couple of fun facts about that song. When I found out Marianne was going to sing it, I Googled it and I looked at it, and it was written by a mom for her, a mom and her writing partner for her teenagers. So I guess they really needed to hear that. But who among us does not have an inner teenager within us, right? I know mine is prominent at times. Also, in the graphics for it, it's all pictures of dogs. Need I say more? She felt that they were an example of unconditional love, and I completely support the composer in that. So anyway, let's get started. Let's get started learning all about that stupid welcoming prayer that's going to cause us to stretch and grow into ways we may not want to. Oh, goodness. So I'm reading this book right now because, you know, we're in the process of reinventing the church and coming up with new marketing plans and all this stuff. And it's seeming kind of hilarious to me right now. I don't know. Everything seems funny to me this morning. I promise the only thing I've had is caffeine, okay, just a little. And I'm reading this book called Fail Fast, Fail Often. It's a marketing book. And it's kind of awesome in a way because it's really a book about courage. It's like, just try a bunch of things and see what happens and do it in a hurry. Don't put too much thought into it. Some of the greats like Pixar did it that way. Starbucks did it that way. Just throw a bunch of spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks, okay? In this book, there's a story about a guy who, it's not a true story. It's a story about a guy who has a rich sourpuss uncle. And his uncle passes away, and when the young man goes to the reading of the will, he realizes that the uncle has left him $100 million. But it is conditional. The young man has to wear a watch called a joy-o-meter. And in order to receive the $100 million, his joy-o-meter for a whole year cannot go below level 7. Meaning he has to produce a lot of joy in his life in order to receive the big bucks, right? They don't really end the story. And honestly, I have a little teensy problem from a spiritual perspective with that story, because really joy is its own reward. And while $100 million is nice and can be joyful, that's not really what's going to bring us joy. Joy begets joy. Joy is priceless, right? But I told that story because I was thinking about it in terms of welcoming everything that is. You know, what if when you left the church today, you could go into the bookstore and purchase a welcome-o-meter to wear on your wrist like a watch, and it would monitor how much you are welcoming, how much you are welcoming everything. And if you were to keep your welcome-o-meter above 7 for a whole year, you would get a prize. Welcoming is the prize. You would get really good at welcoming. And honestly, folks, I think joy for its own sake, welcoming for its own sake, not trying to fix everything around us, letting go of control, letting go, letting the divine do what the divine does best, I think that really is the prize. And so today is about welcoming and how welcoming can actually, it's the prize, because welcoming harnesses the heavens. It harnesses the divine consciousness. It makes space in our room, in our bodies, and in our minds for God. You know, I often tell this story because it's so compelling to me, about my friend who went to Catholic school, and he would dance, go to school dances, and he'd be dancing all, you know, he's a teenager, he's all dancing with this girl, and the nuns would come up and say, "Leave some room for the Holy Spirit, Mr. Burkhardt." When we welcome, we leave some room for the Holy Spirit, or for the Christ consciousness, or the Buddha consciousness, or for the Rumi consciousness, or for whatever consciousness, the Dalai Lama consciousness, whatever consciousness can fulfill us and move us into that place of greater connectivity of the I Am presence, which is what we really are. When we are not welcoming, we are blocking ourselves from all of the divine creativity that is available to us always. Now, some of us who have been in this denomination or have done other metaphysical New Thought teachings may be wondering, is this prayer anti-science of mind? Or is it different than the science of mind teaching? Or is it different than The Secret? Or is it different than some of the teachings that are there about manifesting and setting an intention and changing your thoughts so that you can have what you want? And never holding, never, I can't think of the quote, but never indulging the power of a negative thought, right? You know, if I'm welcoming everything, then I'm welcoming fear, I'm welcoming shame, I'm welcoming guilt. Is that holding on to it? And does that create dastardly results? You know, look at the prayer, what they ask us to welcome. I'm going to pull this out here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it is for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. And then there's that letting go part. There's that letting go part where I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for pleasure? Really? I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. You know. Really? When we look at that, though, you know, first of all, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do the welcoming prayer if it doesn't speak to you, if it doesn't feel authentic to you. By all means, don't do it. Just think about something else during this service. I don't know. But really, you know, in the part where we're welcoming everything, what she doesn't say in that poem is that when welcoming doesn't really have the discernment factor that we think it has sometimes. It's like, if I welcome, I'll welcome this, but not that. You know, if we're welcoming the things that cause us pain or cause us to, or feel like they're causing us to struggle or the feelings around something, we're actually creating space to welcome all of the good things in our lives too. She doesn't really talk about welcoming the good stuff. So it really is welcoming everything. And I know for me personally, and perhaps some of you, you know, there are many times when I walk sightless among miracles, and I'm so caught up in rejecting, in resisting what I think is against me, I'm so caught up in that I can't, first of all, resistance makes things stick, right? A lot of us know that. Resistance causes things to stick, and it also, it dims our vision so that we can't really see all of the good that is around. We're just completely focused on that which is what we do not want, right? So there's that aspect of welcoming, and then in the part about desire, the part about letting go, she asks us to let go a whole bunch of things. It's a shame I ripped this up because I can't remember what she said. Desire for power, control, affection, esteem, approval and pleasure, survival, security, change any situation, condition, person, or myself. You know, she's not really saying let go of all of those things, sort of. She's saying let go of the desire for those things. So it's trying to let go of trying to, I think, control all of that stuff, clinging to that stuff. It's letting go of pushing away and grasping. And that's really what empowers us, you know, because when we do that, when we're able to step back and refrain from pushing stuff away or from grasping at things, clinging to things, what I find that happens to me, I hope I can explain this well, but what I find that happens, and I think this is theologically sound, but I think what happens is that when we do that, when we refrain from pushing away, when we refrain from grasping, we are starting to identify with that which sees the object that we want to push away, or that sees the object that we want to cling to. And by object, a thought can be an object. So when we do that, we are identifying with that which sees. We are identifying with infinite subject. And many metaphysical teachers, Joel Goldsmith for one, is often talking about how identification is so important. We're often identifying with the effects of this world, or we're identifying with that which we do not want, or we're identifying with struggle, or we're identifying with objects, when really our call is to identify with source. So our willingness to practice the welcome prayer, welcome everything, which means releasing resistance and let go of that, of all of the things on that list, which is also a form of releasing grasping, that helps us identify with source. You know, it's kind of like, before I mentioned the ocean and the wave, and I've been reading this article about non-duality as an expression of the ocean and the wave, and you know, the wave, it does, perhaps like as waves in the sea of consciousness, we don't always know that we're part of the ocean. But it's as if we wake up when we practice something like the welcoming prayer, when we identify with source and we say, oh my gosh, I'm a wave in an ocean. I have all of this surge of power around me always, and I am eternal, and I come and I go, and I ebb and I flow, but there is always ocean in this wave, and there's always wave in this ocean. So it's like that. And, you know, the other analogy that I thought of in terms of the welcoming prayer, I actually got this from Tosha Silver, which is an author that we relate to a lot in this center, and she said to think of it as a clasped hand versus an open hand. So if we are not welcoming, if we're not letting go, just do this with me now. Think of something that you want to reject and just clasp your hand and feel what that feels like in your body and in your heart. And then just open your hand. Did you feel everything soften when you opened your hand? You know? And I think that's partially what we're doing through the welcoming prayer is that we're feeling everything soften. We're feeling everything soften so that we're available. Now, some people think that makes us vulnerable to the challenges and the negative things in our lives or the things that we would prefer not to have happen. But really what we are is we're available to a perfect curriculum that has been designed for our evolution, for our awakening, for our remembrance of the divine power and presence that we really are. That's all that it is. It's just opening and making ourselves available and making ourselves accessible. And as I said before, harnessing the heavens of that divine curriculum, harnessing our identification with source so that we are guided into infinite creativity in all things. Because we're calling ourselves, sorry, I'm getting warm. Trying not to make that look like, you know, a striptease. I thought I did that rather well, didn't I? Okay, thank you. When I was a child, Gypsy was my favorite movie, so let's just take it there. I wanted to be Gypsy Rose Lee for Halloween when I was 7, and my mom said I couldn't. I don't know why. I don't get it. Anyway. If you don't understand the reference, please ask somebody sitting beside you or see me after class. I'll explain what it is. Okay, I was about to talk about mystical non-duality. So, you know, talk about fail fast, fail often, that book I've been reading. So I think I did kind of a sermon fail last week. Not a horrible sermon fail, but I feel like I didn't explain something as well as I could have. And then I brutally misquoted Ernest Holmes, our founder. He spun in his grave when he heard me do it. No, he did. Last week I was talking about the bananas. I don't know if anybody was here. You know that song? Let's all sing it together. Yes, we have no bananas. 1, 2, 3. Yes, we have no bananas. We have no bananas today. Yeah, so, whoa. Okay, somebody needs to join the choir and maybe sing a solo. I'm just saying. I've been talking about this for years, Kevin, just so you know. Yep. So why am I goofing around about bananas up here? Well, okay, so it was from this podcast that I listened to where they were talking about how a banana is something that is perceived. Really, our experience of a banana is that we perceive it through the five senses. And they said, if you were not using your five senses, would a banana exist and what would it be? Is it just a concept in the mind of God? It's similar to the idea of a tree falling in a forest. When a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound, right? I think it's a Buddhist koan. And I looked that up too, and it said, you know, it's yes and no, because when a tree falls in the forest, it creates waves. And if you call sound waves, then yes, it does create a sound. But if there is no perceptual sensory instrument to receive it, are the waves just waves? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but it's fascinating. But what I wish I had done with that, and what I'm going to do now, is just to remind us that everything is energy. All of these stories that we lock into so vigorously, it's just energy. It's just energy. And these stories need our attention and our consciousness to thrive. If we can shift our attention to something else through the paradoxical practice of welcoming or the paradoxical practice of letting go, then these stories kind of lose their you know, their oomph. It reminds me also, this is the other part I forgot to say, is, you know, many of us saw what the bleep do we know, where they're talking about, and this has been like known in quantum physics for a long time, but they're talking about that there's these infinite waves of energy in the universe, and when they're observed, they form into particles, but it takes the observer to make it form into particles, which is objects. So there's waves and then there's particles, but the observer makes the waves of potentiality turn into what we are calling reality. You get that? And the same thing is true with stories. The same thing is true with all of the things that we tell ourselves, that they do not exist in the way that we think they exist. You know, again, I'll ask this again, and I've done it many, many times myself, but how many of us have told a story about something that was going to happen in the future and what they were going to say to us and what we were going to say to them and how it was going to turn out, and it felt so real to us, like it was going to happen exactly like the way we planned it, right? And sometimes it does. Sometimes we bring that into being through our consciousness, through our reactivity. But sometimes, often, it doesn't. You know, and a good example of that is this story about Michael Beckwith, which some of you may know. Michael Beckwith is the minister at Agape, the Agape Church. And he told a story years ago about, this was shortly after he had done The Secret. He was in the movie The Secret, and he was on Oprah a couple of times. And he was in the he was in the airport at LAX, and he noticed these cops kind of eyeing him. And all of a sudden, immediately, he made up a story about why the cops were looking at him. Michael Beckwith has a checkered past, let's put it that way. As he says, he was he was engaged in an entrepreneurial activity of an illegal nature. So he had a whole story about what the cops wanted. And then when the cops came up to him and they said, "Are you Michael Beckwith? We saw you in The Secret. Can we have your autograph?" Right? So it's that kind of thing. We're constantly spinning tales and we're spinning stories. And the part about Ernest Holmes that I misquoted, I said something like, Ernest Holmes says, spiritual truth is better than solid facts. It's close, but it's not as powerful as what he really said. He really said, spiritual truth dissolves solid facts. Spiritual truth dissolves solid facts. Thank you. Spiritual truth dissolves solid facts. And had he known about quantum physics at the time, he might have said, spiritual truth collapses solid facts. It's very similar to what Cynthia Bourgeau writes about the welcoming prayer. Let's see if I can find it. She writes, let's see, where is it? Through deliberate training, in inner softening, this is the welcoming prayer, inner softening and opening, the practice begins to lay down new neural pathway. It dissolves our old neural pathways. And these neural pathways support a deeper, compassionate flow. Emptying is experienced in and through the act of bringing oneself into a state of unconditional presence. You like that word, unconditional? I like that word, unconditional. I can't always do it, but it means that, you know, it's what I was saying before about the inheriting or getting the $100 million doesn't matter. Unconditional joy is so much more powerful than that. Unconditional welcoming, which is the ability to welcome everything without conditions, is so much more powerful than anything. So it brings us into a state of unconditional presence, which is the truth of who we are, right? The divine spirit can hold everything. Energy that might have been otherwise squandered is recaptured and placed directly in the service of spiritual transformation. Welcoming allows us to draw upon subtle energies, or rather, electromagnetic energy fields, which may be another name for divine assistance or divine creativity. Electromagnetic fields that surround us always are, in truth, divine assistance and divine creativity. You all want to tap into that, right? Does welcoming doesn't seem quite so bad anymore, does it? Maybe you all loved it from the start. I had mixed feelings about it, actually. I didn't want to welcome everything. Some things, but not everything. The other thing I want to say, because this is just coming up for me, how are we doing? Okay, with time. So welcoming, you know, some people think that surrender or welcoming is like a form of surrender or forgiveness. It's forgiving life for being life, really. It's forgiving others for being others. Sometimes people think that it's a form of being a wimp, right? Of being passive and being a wimp. But really, it isn't, because it's moving into a place where you're in connection with a higher level of love and integrity than you normally would be if you're clenching your body, right? And sometimes the higher level of love and integrity will tell you to take action, or will tell you to stand up, or will tell you to set a boundary, but you're doing it from a different place. You're not doing it from a place, we're not doing it from a place of aggression or resistance, we're just doing it from a place of openness. I had a very sort of trivial example of this yesterday when I was out in our vegetable garden, which is covered with cages, so the birds don't eat them, big cages that you can stand in, and there was a dusty jay in there that couldn't get out, and it was a young one. And his mom was looking for him. His mom was on top of the birdcage trying to get him. And it was making me sad. And you know, often the birds can get out on their own, but I couldn't let it go. And I'm like, I welcome this. I welcome this. I welcome this. I welcome this. Okay, I welcome this. I welcome this. An animal is suffering. I welcome this. So I stood there for a while, brought the dog in the cage with me to maybe tempt the bird out. And ultimately, through relaxing my body and softening my body and my action and feeling the sensation of fear and feeling the sensation of sadness that this bird was caught and that it couldn't get to its mother, I just got Annette. Not Annette who works here, by the way. a net that we used to... Poor Annette, she was sleeping and I called her, no. I got a net of, you know, that we used to scoop up our fish and whatnot. So, and I just was so easily able to catch this bird in the net and then put my hand around it and then just release it. And it was so gratifying. So that's what I'm saying is that surrender, welcoming, forgiveness is not always passive. Sometimes it's just standing in the way, in the path of that divine guidance that you need. And so I like that. I like that for all of us. I like that for all of us, and I like it for us as a community of spiritual seekers as well, that we get to be in this place of abundant receptivity and abundant self-emptying of that which stands in the way of our abundant receptivity and our abundant creativity. I think we can do great things if, as a consciousness, as a congregation, as a community, we can start to really deepen in this practice and cultivate it and share it with the world, not by proselytizing, but just by showing up and being that which we want to see in the world. I think that has great power, and I really, really hope you all join in that journey with me and with us. And you may be wondering how to do it. I'm still working on it. I'm not an expert, and I read several things, and I'm not an expert, but let's see if we can just kind of evolve this and grow this together. Most of what I read said that there are three steps to it, and the first one is to just notice and to name it. To notice, particularly in your body. It's really a body practice. So one of the things I've noticed is that I've been, and I think this is... been exacerbated by perhaps the last year, 18 months or so. I don't know about you, but there was a bit of stress in the last 18 months, whatever. And I've noticed that my shoulders are creeping up here often, you know. I go to have blood drawn and they'll go relax your arm. And I'm like, it is relaxed. What are you talking about? I'm like, maybe lower. Oh, that's a relaxed arm. Okay. All right. So just noticing in your body, noticing where you're holding tension. And if it is about something, without analyzing it, without trying to fix it, without trying to change it even, you can name it. You can notice and name it. Ah, this is fear. Ah, this is protection. Okay. I welcome this sensation in my body. So you notice and you name, and then you start to welcome. When we welcome... we say something like, welcome fear, welcome tension, welcome shame, welcome guilt, welcome anger, whatever it is we're feeling, welcome inadequacy. What a beautiful song that Marianne chose where she's talking about all of these pairs of opposites. Welcome both of those pairs of opposites. Welcome them, and just allow them to be. As we welcome things, we may notice other feelings coming up. Welcome those too. Welcome those two, and just say, this is a sensation of fear. This is a sensation of shame. This is a sensation of anger. I just welcome you. Think about that fist versus the open hand. You know, if you're finding yourself clenching, I don't want to welcome that. Just maybe physically open your hand and relax and see what happens. The world will not collapse if we welcome. In fact, the world gets better. And then there's that letting go part. We're letting go of many things that we might think we want, like power and control and affection and approval and esteem and pleasure, survival, security, the desire to change anything, the desire to change myself or a person. You know, that seems so counterintuitive. But I do have to say, I have done this a lot because I've studied the Sedona Method quite extensively, and that's what you do in the Sedona Method. You say, just let go. Feel how much you want control. Feel how much you want power. Feel how much you want to feel good, and just let it go. Just let it go. And then the question after that is, can you rest as that in your body? Can you rest as that which needs no power, control, esteem to be? And that, again, that's identifying with the source. That's identifying with the truth of who you really are. That I am presence that we sing about every Sunday. That is making the word of God flesh, the concept, the idea, the formlessness of God flesh. It's bringing the formless into form. It's bringing the formless into our body so that it dwells among us and so that we are it. And we go about our life from that place. There were some other suggestions about how to practice the letting go. You can say simply, I let go of the desire to change this. Or you can say, I let go of name the sensation. I let go of fear. I let go of clenching. I let go of my shoulders. I let go of trying to get that bird out of the aviary and stand here and wait for guidance. And then another one that is very Toshi Silver, but I saw it in another article, Divine Beloved, I give you my fear. I give you my tension. I give you my body. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. And then we just watch and we pray and we see what happens. It's kind of like that story that I told at the beginning, where the joy-o-meter, and we switched to the welcome-o-meter. And at the end, if your welcome-o-meter is above a 7 for a whole year, you hit the jackpot. Really, with this type of welcoming practice, you hit the jackpot immediately because your body softens and you're much more accessible to divine flow. You're much more accessible to knowing what to do and how to be without trying to fix it, without trying to know. You're much more accessible to just surrender, to let go, to let spirit be spirit within you, to let God be God. You know, and there will be times when we are unable to do it. I get prayer requests all the time from people, and I always pray for what people want, throwing in this or something better, understanding that there may be a bigger picture. And I also get prayer requests where, of course, they want that. I can't imagine them not wanting that. Prayer requests for people's children wanting good things, life-affirming, life-enhancing, like life and death things for people. And of course, I always pray for that, but there is a spaciousness around it if we are welcoming. There's a spaciousness to the prayer that I believe calls in a greater presence and affirmation of the divine. And really, the divine is what gets everything done. The last thing I'm going to say is, let's say you do happen upon a time where there's something and you say to yourself, I absolutely cannot welcome this. I just can't welcome this. Well, that's awesome, because you get to welcome your inability to welcome. You feel the resistance in your body and you say, I welcome this resistance to welcoming. I welcome it. Because like I often say about love, I haven't said it for a while, the action of love is far more important than the object of love. And the action of welcoming is far more important than the object of welcoming. Which means welcome whatever you can, start where you are, and be ye transformed by the renewal of your minds. Let's go ahead and we'll pray on that right now. And so it is. Thank you.